You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Hey, everyone, we are back. Bing is for doing, and here we are for the Grey's Anatomy After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Jason J. Carter. Hi, hi, hi.
Hey, I'm Jennifer Golden.
Hi, I'm Julie Parton.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
Guys, we're back. Grey's Anatomy Season 9 is in full swing, and tonight we were finally getting a taste of what was missing from the premiere last week, and quite a lot was missing last week. Or, I shouldn't say missing, questions were unanswered. It was another cliffhanger, so to speak.
It was unsatisfying.
Yeah? Very unsatisfying. It's like having breakfast with no hash browns, or, you know, cereal
or
with no
toast
milk.
With no condiment on top.
You know, like...
Well, I run this through my head over and over again, trying to figure out why they did this whole non-linear episode that didn't go with the last episode. And I think it's because the very last episode of most of the seasons of Grey's isn't a typical episode.
No.
It's like violent and usually lots of people die and it's scary. And I think they didn't want to do two of those in a row. So they took a break, took us back to the place where we've usually been on Grey's, and then episode two brought it back home.
Well, I just felt like the last episode was so big, and then the first episode of this season was so bleh.
Well, I wouldn't say it was blah. It just, you know, for a premiere of a show like Grey's Anatomy and the magnitude that Grey's Anatomy, the following that it has, you would think that historically, Shonda and her team delivers. You know, you're just like, it's normally a 2-hour series, season premiere, 2 hours.
True.
Yes, 2 hours of heaven.
And it's like
really,
a movie.
Right, and you're healing, or not so much healing, but you're getting over the dynamic finale that was, you know, the previous season, so...
And it closes, like, loops.
Right.
You know, you kind of fill in gaps.
But I do think now with 9 seasons into this show that they had to do something different. And with the fates of so many doctors that were looming at the end of season 8, it was almost like they did it on purpose. Like, okay, you know what? We're going to bring you guys back in kind of soft because we're going to gut punch you in the next 3 episodes. And tonight, they definitely gut punched us for sure. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Right, but they still brought us to a place of confusion where it was totally nonlinear.
Right.
Even this episode didn't go in the order of the events. It jumped all over the place.
Yeah, it was. It was very back and forth. And at the points, we couldn't tell. Did it go back? Did it stay the same? And it was a little bit confusing. But I think you're right. You know, 9 seasons in, I mean, how much drama can these people take? They have to change it up for us in order for it to be different.
And they had us come back, obviously.
Yeah.
After the first episode, we were like, okay, you're going to have to tell us at some point what happened to these people.
Right.
And now that I know, I almost wish I didn't.
Exactly. It was too much. It made my teeth itch tonight. And me and Jen last week had said that, you know, there was a lot of cliches in the premiere, you know, with the music, the interns. Just
so parallel.
Right. I almost feel like tonight should have been the premiere. And last week's episode should have been the second episode. But enough about that. Let's talk about tonight's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Time. And I think the title is fitting. Let's start with Christina. Yang historically has always been the anchor and has always been just a robot, emotionless. But when she's emotional, it's pretty intense and it's riveting.
Yeah. She also took the longest to recover from the shooting, too,
right.
though.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about that, actually, while we were watching, that when she freaks out, she just goes to town.
Yeah,
and we actually talked about that last week when we said, when she cries, it's like, whoa, what was the, it's the ugly cry, it's the loud cry, it's everything about crying that you just don't like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see her this week again be the last person to recover, and that now she doesn't speak again, and she didn't really speak last time, and she did all this weird shopping last time that she had this traumatic thing happen where she had to redecorate everything.
Right, yeah. When George got hit by the bus, she went shopping. I think, well, she was suffering from preoperative psychosis, and the doctors are saying that she doesn't speak, but when they try to touch her or try to communicate with her, she's violent. And then we come to find out that throughout the course of the show, she's still suffering because out of everyone that was in the woods, she experienced the most, the longest. She mm-hmm. had to stay awake to make sure that people were still breathing. You know, while everyone slept, while everyone was kind of recuperating, she didn't. And in those waking hours, she was losing her mind.
Experienced the worst.
I mean, she... I don't want to drop the ball, but she said that she heard that she was trying to fend off animals, and she was wondering why these animals kept coming around, but because they were eating Lexi.
Horrible.
When she's like, I drank terrible things, in my mind I'm like, don't say urine. Right then. I drank my own pee.
I drank jet fuel, and I drank my own pee. I mean,
they
really?
Went there. They left nothing. I mean, I guess they left it to our imagination, giving us only the verbal description. But boy, did she use details to get us the picture of how absolutely horrible it was for them on that island or wooded area.
Right.
But we needed that because otherwise we wouldn't have understood why she was so traumatized when everybody else was fine.
Because in the beginning,
so she stayed awake for 4 days.
And she kept, you know, she kept having to bring Mark back to life. He kept dying. He kept wanting to die. And we saw that in the season finale episode where he wanted to go be with Lexi. He wanted to die.
I thought for sure he was dead.
I did too. And, you know, and the way she talks about it was, you know, kind of a little bit, you know, funny. She said, you know,
she's like, oh, he's kept dying.
It was so annoying.
Yeah. Of course, in her typical fashion, she's like, oh, he was so annoying. He kept trying to die.
But speaking on the writers though, I was telling you, Julie, I thought it was brilliant that, it was grotesque and disgusting, but way for the writers to really make it real and really find into, they could have went any direction. They could have been like, oh, you know, she's just post-traumatic stress syndrome, whatever. But she had that already. We can't give her that ailment again. She can't have that again. You know, she has to have, so she drank her own pee.
And pulling bugs off of Arizona's leg, like the bugs and the wounds and trying to keep it covered. And I mean, it was very detailed about what she was having to do. So it definitely gives you an inside peek at what she's going through.
I think my favorite thing about this episode is the places that they didn't go. I really was afraid it was going to be a lot like the plane crash in Lost. We were going to see more of the resuscitation and the gore of them trying to be these doctors in the woods, you know? And I'm glad they didn't take us there very much during the episode. We saw that. That was kind of a relief for me. My favorite part was when Bailey made a joke about it being Lost. I love it when the characters say what the audience is thinking.
Right. And that's the beauty of the writers. They're always on the money. One thing, though, I will say that I think it's a little childish but endearing at the same time is Meredith and Christina's relationship thus far now. I almost feel like it's like, oh, okay, she's your person. Like, Meredith's a little clingy, and it's not cute anymore. It's almost like, okay, Meredith, I mean, you know, you're a big girl now. You have a daughter.
Well, everybody that Meredith loves dies. So, of course, she holds on to the ones that are alive.
Right, I know, but the monologue where Christina talks about, like, you should leave. Everyone dies here. You should leave. Like, why are you trying to stay here? And why Christina leaves? And I got to hand it to Meredith for being the stronger mentally of the two, because you would think that with all the cold, detached, calculated nature that is Christina Yang, that she'd be the one that, like, I'm sticking out. You know, I'm ride or die. Go hard or go home. But she's fleeing, like, desperately to get away.
You know what? Somebody on that show had to say it.
Right.
That place is crazy. There's nobody that lives through a shooting and then goes through a plane crash the next year.
Right, like somebody had to call that fact out, and it happened to be her, and you wouldn't think that she would be the one that was a little bit on the weaker side or running in fear. But I also appreciated what Meredith said, which was, this is life.
Yeah.
Like, you don't run from life. Life happens, and you're just dealt the cards you're dealt.
Absolutely.
You run somewhere else, you're dealt them there, too.
And I don't necessarily see it as being clingy. I think she's trying to humanize Christina a little bit more. You know, she's been trying to pull this personality out of her for all these 9 seasons. And I think Christina running just shows she doesn't deal with anything. It's not necessarily that she's strong and detached. She just doesn't deal with it. So she just kind of closes down and goes away. So when these traumatic things happen and she can't, I mean, she's forced to have to sit in a bad situation. That's why she goes so bonkers, I think.
Well, I think, I believe...
She's good at going bonkers.
Kelly, to a degree, I agree with you there, but I disagree because I mean, in the shooting, Christina, I think Christina works best under pressure. And I think that's why she was the one who survived and stayed up and made and got everyone together. Remember in the season finale of Remember in the season 8 finale, she told Meredith, get it together. Get it together. Your sister this is not, you snap out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think Christina does very well in times of pressure. But people like that bottle things up, they're like a hurricane waiting to happen. They just explode or they have a meltdown because they're very sensitive internally. But their exterior is very coarse and very harsh. So I think that, of course, that's Yang's character. Mm-hmm. But I just feel, I don't know, I wanted her to, of course she's going to run away because they had to have someone run away. But I wanted her to stick around and really, her and Meredith, gel together more. I think that's what I was wanting to happen. Mm-hmm. But then that would have been predictable though, right?
So do you guys think that she would have gone to Mayo without the plane crash? Do you think that's what she would have chosen anyway?
Yes.
Because she had chosen it prior. Did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think she would have just gone without the plane crash, and then the plane crash happened, she still went anyway. She still proceeded with her future plans.
Right. Yes. Because, again, she's not dealing with her situation with Owen, so she's just going away.
Right, which, by the way, was anybody, a little bit excited that they were sort of back together? Like, he was taking care of her?
And yes, I was.
Yeah.
And I was sad to see her packing up her stuff and going. I was like, this guy just took care of you, yo.
Yeah.
But we saw the same, again, in Grace has done this before, though, because after the shooting, we remember the finale where Bailey left to Seattle. Remember when she was getting into the cab and was like, you weren't there, just talking to herself about everything that happened while her boyfriend was trying to console her, and she left, too. So it's just a lot of things that I think they're recycling, but adding a twist on it, which I don't like. I would rather them have all new original ideas on this show than to say, okay, look, again, Derek with the hand. Burke with the hand, you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things. Last season they even went so far to have for the premiere of having a sinkhole in the middle of Seattle.
And that was weird.
You know, like, really?
Well, we're 9 seasons. Like, what else can they
but
do?
But you guys didn't like how the new interns represented them when they came in as interns?
No.
I loved it. I loved that they played the same song. I loved that she had the same optimism and hopefulness on her face when she was on the elevator. And I loved that Meredith, who used to be the fresh little intern, was now the new Bailey.
Wait, I'm so glad you brought that up, because this episode, you know, since we're touching on Christina and Meredith, it didn't show how she got there in the last episode.
Right.
Because she was sweet and she was the one keeping it all together. And then the last thing we see is that Christina calls her and is like, you are my person. So why are you so bitter?
Yeah.
Why was she so Medusa in the first episode?
Well, I
didn't get that
either. It didn't connect.
Mm-mm. I think we'll probably, again, that's probably one of the things you can always rely on on Grey's Anatomy, is that they take you, it's a ride, they take you up, and the top is always well worth the wait. You're like, oh, okay, I understand.
So well, where were those interns?
Yeah. You know, they were in them a little bit. The girl that was the child actress in Andre.
Tina Majorino.
Yes, and yes. She was also in Veronica Mars. I was so excited to see her on the show. I wasn't excited to see her sleeping with Karev within 30 seconds, but excited to see her as a new intern.
So we now know Christina's story, which, do you guys agree? It was fulfilling. I'm glad that happened to her and that it played out that way, because it gave Christina a little bit more depth, I guess, than what we've been...
To be honest, I'm glad that journey didn't go on longer than this episode.
Yeah,
I can't see the freakouts.
I don't want to have another fish crying moment. No, let's just move it on. She's back. She's on her game.
She's back. Moving right along. Mick Steamy. Mark.
I was shocked when he was awake. When they first showed him and he was awake.
Right, we had no idea. We just figured he came back and he was already in that condition.
Ding,
right.
Ding, ding. Grey's magic.
Why did they have to kill him twice? I mean, really? I know. Really? Did we need to see him die in 2 episodes?
I mean, his final contract negotiations required that. They want to get their money's worth.
Why do we have to see him die twice?
But you know what? Again, it was powerful seeing him alive, because last week, him and Arizona were the breakout stars of the premiere. Mark died. And Mark and Lexi were two of the most beloved characters on the show, because Mark, no matter how douchey he was still lovable and relatable and warm. He never lost his cool, and even when he did, it was for like a split second. Whereas Derek goes bipolar. Derek goes from, hi, I love you, Meredith, to, get out of my face, I can't stand you, you ruined my medical trial, you bitch, you know. seriously. I mean, he could
slightly
definitely
unstable.
He could definitely use some Wellbutrin or so. They got loads of drugs in that hospital. Take some. Call Nurse Jackie. But no, I think this week Eric Dane and Mick Steamy and his character Smart Sloan was by far the most heartbreaking because, I mean, he broke up with his girlfriend who, what was her name again? That shows how memorable your character
Julia.
Was.
My guess was Julie. That's okay. My name. I think that's what her name.
Maybe
or
it
could
was.
Be, I'm confusing it with mine. But I thought her name was Julie.
You're like, okay. I just want to be his girlfriend.
After Buzzers, don't kill us for not knowing her name. But if you do know her name, tweet us, iTunes us, let us know. Because
I guess the reason we don't know her name is that we didn't really, as an audience, need closure of that moment.
Right.
Maybe some people did.
I think we always wanted him to get back together with Lexi.
I completely almost forgot about that other girlfriend.
I did forget about her.
I thought that they had actually gotten back together. Because I forgot so much about that other girl.
I know.
That,
yeah, I thought they had gotten back together too, but they didn't.
No.
She just had confessed her love to him right before they got on that plane, right?
Right.
It was like a day or so before. It was right around that time. She went up to him and was like,
Exactly.
And he said, I'm with, forget her name.
Right. And then, right. But then I'm with no
other
name.
Lady.
I'm with whose name we cannot figure out.
She looks like a stand-in for Lexi, to be quite honest, because she looked very similar. I was like, is that
supposed to be
your sister?
Forget her name. If somebody breaks up with you and breaks your heart, I guess the worst thing in the world isn't for them to die a few days later.
Yeah,
so I'm
like,
sure Dr. Forget Her Name's just feeling a little bit better right now.
He's like, well, that bastard died. Sorry about it.
Or the fact that Lexi died and he still doesn't want you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hi. Major murder.
Worst.
But on a real note, you guys, though, I think the Mark and Lexi saga is probably going to be one that's going to be very memorable because their love was so real. And I think to Mark laying in that bed, how I feel if my significant other was there, how heartbroken I would be if something happened to that person. And I'm glad that one of the things I'm really glad about Grey's is that they make situations that can really happen come to life on television. You know, there's nothing that's too far-fetched on this show that you're like, what? Really? It's like, okay, that could happen. Especially when it comes to love. Maybe when there's some, like, sinkholes in the middle of Seattle. But when it comes to relationships and stuff, you can relate. Because there's been some things on the show that I'm like, I've been that guy. I've been that dude. Say anything with the radio over my head, you know, playing Peter Gabriel, you know. So, the writer's really not, thank you so much. I mean, we've all been there. So, but when he died, when Mark the Surge had a medical surge, which, you know, in medical terms is a terminally ill patient finally gets some energy.
I almost wish I didn't know that.
Right.
Every time I see my family members in the hospital now, I'm going to be
is that surge?
Is this their surge?
Terminally ill.
Terminally ill means that they're going to die.
So let's describe this because we were a little bit confused. What made him so terminally ill?
Well, he had a hemothorax, which was internal bleeding in his heart area or in his chest.
Okay.
Because at the end of season 8, she opens up his chest, and lo and behold, he's not doing so well.
Mm-hmm. And that whole thing had landed on him, so it like condensed all of his organs, and he had internal bleeding. What I did love, though, about him on his bed while he was going through this surge was that he wasn't down and out. He was upbeat, and he was positive, and he was giving great advice about life and, you know, the importance of things and putting things in perspective. And playing happy for everyone around him because they needed him to be okay and he was suffering inside, which was sad, but it was nice to see that he wasn't woe is me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he was and he wanted to see his daughter.
Yeah, I mean, there are people in a lot better positions and are a lot more negative.
Right. Yeah. So in conclusion, that love story, Lexi and McSteamy, it was maybe the best in the series.
And it shows you don't do things that you're going to regret later.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, just tell him. Tell him you love him.
Yeah, but that's always I always think about that too. But that's always the cliche, you know, don't wait till do what you can do today, don't put off till tomorrow. And one of the things that the questions we were wondering about in the finale was this 30-day, but he had an advanced directive about how he wanted to die and when to stop life support.
Mm-hmm.
And doctors know these things. We have to forget that these people are educated.
They read their own charts.
Yeah. They
from their bed.
They know what's going on. They know when their arm's gonna fall off 10 years from now. You know, they can make it happen. So his story tonight wasn't the most powerful, but it was definitely the breakout.
Better than the flashbacks, though, last week.
Yeah.
That was so weird and disconnected.
Can we please tell me why? Okay, they go back from 2012 to 1994. Mind you, that was almost 20 years ago,
when
right?
When we didn't know them yet.
But it was showing the relationship between him and each character, I think.
Yes, Ms. Kelly, but they still looked 40 and 45 in 1994.
I know. Well, they just filmed them.
I was like,
they are 40 and 45.
You could have at least.
I thought the same thing, though, when I was watching them back. They could have at least, like, put some, like, spray Halloween hair color in Mark's hair or something.
Some MAC makeup cover up the best. Something. Really?
20 years ago, he wasn't salt and pepper, guys.
I know. I thought the same thing. That's what I was thinking.
Really bad.
But really, though, good storytelling or not, I couldn't get past how cool I thought it was, all the different ways that they were videotaping. Like, all of it was from these surprise different videotapes that we had never seen before, and I thought that was cool. And I also loved how they incorporated the technology of how people keep in contact with long-distance relationships.
Sure. FaceTime. Yeah.
The iPad.
Yeah.
That was Apple. I'm sure that was great product placement, though, because...
Yeah. But you know what it is? Like, you live far away from the people you love. Right. That's how you have a relationship most of the time.
Well, did you guys see that Shonda Rhimes wrote a eulogy for Mark Sloan? It's going to be...
Tell us about it.
Can you give us a couple of words from it.
It's going to be in the new Entertainment Weekly, but it says, last week, Mark Sloan succumbed to injuries sustained in the plane crash that took the life of fellow surgeon Alexander Caroline Gray. By the time he died, he was no longer just a hot, naked guy in a towel. He'd become more than McSteamy. Mark had grown to become a mentor, a true best friend, and a father, and the love of Lexi Gray's life.
I think that's beautiful. That's how you know, that's how deep and involved Ms. Shonda Rhimes is in her show. Can we get her a round of applause, please, after that?
Yes, and if you want to read the whole thing, just pick up the next issue of Entertainment Weekly, and it's all there.
But I do want to say, Shondala, you don't have to disfigure, dismember, or kill off your characters anymore. Love them.
I think it's a natural progression. The show couldn't evolve the way it has without having these natural things happen.
And it's also people's careers.
Can we also touch on when they're bringing them back from the woods, how they have... Meredith says we need to be sedated, but not only do they have everyone who survives sedated, but they have Lexi in a bag.
I know.
That was like... that
right next to Mark, so when he looks over, that's what he sees. And then he, like, tries to die again. Horrible.
Yeah. Right.
Brutal.
Horrible. That was brutal. But it was really fascinating to see, though, Bailey and Dr. Weber. I want to call
Chief
him
Weber.
Chief.
Yeah. Chief Weber.
Like, presidents will always
Richard.
Be presidents.
Yeah.
You know? He's always going to be chief.
Yeah.
But to see them all sedated, like, arms down and just in such bad shape, it's just horrible.
I know.
But great that, you know, Meredith said, we're going to get on a plane again. We need to be sedated.
Yeah. Okay. My least... favorite part of the whole episode. Why couldn't he have just gotten the baby back in time? Why couldn't we have one last father-daughter
hug? I have no idea. What floor was she on that it took that long?
I know.
He had to sign her out of daycare. There was strict procedure.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. But really, they went through a whole sheet of questionnaire for do not resuscitate and all these other things. They were telling jokes. They were having this whole conversation.
And it took them that
they
long.
Had surgeries and stuff in the meantime.
Like, I think that their time-lapse was a little unreasonable.
I wanted to last grasp between father and daughter.
Oh, no.
Ladies, do you guys feel, though, that the whole... I mean, even though we're two episodes into season 9, but do you feel the whole energy of Grey's this season is very final? Like, you feel like things are coming to a head and things are wrapping up? I almost feel like, where else can they go? Out of all the things that have happened, there's been a shooting, there's been cancer, some dismemberment from a bus, and there's also some finales of Grey's and premieres of Grey's that aren't as emotional, like when Meredith and was left at home with Zola at the end of season 7, you know, with no Derek. Shauna said that she had to do something different, that it wasn't always about this grotesque cliffhanger. Sometimes it's just about reality and you can't, you know, not everything's got to be...
Right. Yeah, that's where I think the show could go, and that's when I think the show is at its best. Whenever it's just about these fun, ambitious, quirky doctors living in their hospital, doing life together, trying to balance their career that sucks the life out of them with the people around them whom they love.
Or maybe next time Meredith's just not involved in the accident. I mean, how many, like, she's drowned, is, you know, puts her hand inside the person with the bomb, she's in an ambulance, you know, wreck, all of these things. Maybe next time we can leave her at the hospital.
Yeah.
And haven't you noticed the weddings on Grey's Anatomy are lackluster as well? The set, except for the post-it wedding. The post-it wedding was by far the most genius. I bawled and I'm not a crier. And the only reason why I cried was because they played the Flash dance theme underneath. It was a Flash. What a feeling.
I know.
And it was so perfect. And what he was saying to Meredith was just so beautiful and so romantic. All I could do was cry. And I promise you, after buzzers, I don't cry. Oh, man. But that scene was amazing. And also, I love that they're wearing attending scrubs now, the dark blue scrubs. It shows maturity and an evolution in, because we've always seen them in the light blue.
The medical circle of life.
They've always been kids. Meredith Karev, all of them, even though they're grown, they've always been kids to us. You know, they've always.
See, just, I think that's where the show could go.
Yeah.
They've moved on. This is their new phase. New crazy interns. I always love the new crazy kids.
I don't know. I'm with you, though. I think that this season is going to be a wrap on Grey's Anatomy because people are starting to leave. They are getting older. I don't know how long they're going to look like, you know, attendings or like that they were just residents.
Hey, the cast of Private Practice is a good 15 years older apiece.
That's why this is their final short abbreviated season, Miss Julie.
Good. Goodbye.
Shauna was like, it's a wrap on you, Addison.
But I do think that they're sort of putting a bow on certain things and calling it a day. And even the speeches, the monologues sound like they're answering questions we may have about storylines.
Sure.
Like we felt tonight, we were all saying that this kind of feels like the finale of the season.
Yeah, the whole speech about, but this is my home. Yeah. This is where my family has lived and died. I've been here my whole life. We're like, you should have saved that for the last 5 minutes of the show.
But when they do that at the beginning of a season, that's when you know the season's going to be great. Because if they're giving you that much emotion and that much intensity in the beginning, you know that they cannot run out of steam. It's got to get deeper and heavier. Mm-hmm. And bring it on. I want to be so on the edge of my seat every Thursday that I have to DVR it, go to sleep, dream about it, wake up and watch it all over again to make sure I saw what I saw the night before, because that's when you know you have some really damn good television. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I may be wishful thinking, but let's not start planning for the end of the series until it's announced.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and then you guys tell us what you think. You know, go to iTunes and make sure to rate and comment and leave us your comments and let us know, do you think that this season's wrapping up? You know, what do you think about the characters and how the season's going so far? So please tell us. We like to know. And give us 5-star ratings. We like that.
5 stars. Before we move on to our next topic, let's talk about the interns. And Julie, I know, and Julie, you're so bubbly and lovely. I love it. But the interns, no, we don't need any more new interns. No.
I'm sorry, but I don't really like the casting of them.
No, neither do I.
I don't like any of them, really.
You know what, though? I think because they're so just nondescript, because they aren't going to really be a big part of the show.
Yeah.
Right. They don't matter. We're not, even when the current cast were interns, there was still something they had special about them. You can't recreate. It's like having Saved by the Bell, the new class. No one cared about the new class.
Yeah, but not even only that. They just, this new intern group looks just so much younger than when the Grey's cast started. Like, it looks like they're still in med school.
Right. Maybe they're doing the Harry Potter thing, where you start out with book one, seeing it through his eyes, and then by the time he's a teenager, you're seeing it as an older teenager. So maybe when we saw the interns before, they were these characters that we could relate to, and now we've grown up with them, and we see the interns now. We see them through our characters' eyes that we've been with the whole time.
Could be.
Tiny, squirrely, and Karev's opinion, maybe somebody to sleep with, you know.
You know, it's like the real world. Remember when you used to watch the real world and you thought they were like, God, these people are really old. Now you watch it, it's like middle schoolers.
Why are they doing that? That's inappropriate. Where are their parents?
I know.
Youths. Like, they're on TV. Do they know that?
It totally could be that. I don't know.
Or they're just blah, and they were like seat fillers for the episode.
Could be,
who knows? And I think it was for the purpose of doing the parallel and all those cheesy things that we didn't necessarily like that episode.
Yeah.
One of the things about Grey's Anatomy that I always am champion and always loving is that just the editing of the show is great. You're never ever wondering. Even we may be wondering what's going on, but it's seamless in the chaos. Though it doesn't, it makes sense, but it doesn't. I know that sounds weird me saying that, but because tonight they kept doing these whoosh and whoosh and all these like flashbacks, but it tied everything in together, and that's hard to do. Effectively, I guess is the word. And moving along to Arizona and Cali, I was reading in Entertainment Weekly that Callie's storyline this season is going to be one of the strongest out of any season of Grey's Anatomy. Callie, because one, Callie wasn't on the plane. Two, Callie's lost Lexi and Mark, and she is married to or in a relationship with Arizona, who, as we know, lost her leg, and she had to make the decision to cut off Arizona's leg. And also, she has to deal with the death of Mark and still keeping everything afloat and still having a relationship with Arizona. Yes. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to handle it well.
Plus, she's the one that did the surgery on Derek's hand. So whatever happens with that, there could be some kind of, he could have some ill, you know, There could be some kind of
what we saw
there.
In the last episode mm-hmm. that his hand's not working properly,
right.
And it was the surgery we found out that she suggested,
uh-huh.
and then she did. Which, by the way, she is involved in all kinds of things with the choosing to cut off the leg when she said she wouldn't, mm-hmm. and it was kind of interesting how that storyline unraveled. I mean, revealed itself to us, and we saw. She had promised and then changed her mind, which is why at the end of the last episode, Arizona was all feisty and angry,
mm-hmm.
which she should be because her leg is gone, but not because the decision was made. I'm sure we'll get to that.
Right.
But.
Arizona, you know, Jessica Capshaw, I dig you. I think it's cool your stepdad, Steven Spielberg, billions of dollars. But her character, again, I put her next to McDreamy because she has these mood swings that go from cold. She's not natural. I think, I honestly, Calzona doesn't work for me. I think Erica Hahn and Callie, if they would have given that storyline some leg room, some mileage, would have been great because it just seemed more natural. Something about Arizona just doesn't sit well with me. Callie is everything. She's this brunette, buxom, full-figured
warm
beauty that's mm-hmm. That's so talented at what she does and so confident. She's an heiress. You know, she's all these things. She's just such a woman. Whereas Arizona is just this wheelie-skating Pete's girl that's always about the tiny humans. And I get it. That's your job. But something about her just doesn't sit well with me. And tonight, having her leg cut off was... I like the idea of them cutting off her leg, but
something's got to happen to more than like not everybody needs to die or be fine. Someone had to have an injury.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know,
two people had injuries.
You know, and I don't know. I just feel. I guess I'm glad that Sarah Ramirez is getting a lot of legwork now because she's one of the best actresses on that show. Sorry, Sarah, the musical event. Whoever allowed you to do that, your voice was great, but Shonda, never again. Don't crossover events and musical events are a no-go.
But Callie, since her appearance on the show, I feel like she's maybe been the strongest actress.
For sure.
Like, I'd never feel nervous that she's not going to be able to handle a scene.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, whatever the scene brings her, she rises to the occasion.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I feel like her real name is Callie.
I know, right?
Because I feel like she's that person on the show and off the show because she does such a great job with it. But going back to Arizona's leg, when we were watching and she was all upset about her leg and save my leg, woe is me, save my leg, I can't play with my daughter in the park. Yes, you can. There are things like wheelchairs and things that other people watching the show may be using or have had worse things happen to them, like lose both legs.
Or all mm-hmm. four limbs.
Right, exactly.
Seriously. Run in the Olympics, Arizona. You still can.
Right. There are people doing a lot more with one leg and a prosthetic, which they even said she would have more of an opportunity.
Better quality mm-hmm. of life.
Better quality of life. With that, and it seemed just so insensitive and trivial when people are dying around you.
Yeah. Well, you got to think about it, though. When you're a surgeon, and I think it's the same thing with Derek's character, and I think why, you know, people don't like it, mm-hmm. is there's this kind of, like, a God complex that these people get, that they're so into themselves, it's a vanity thing. And I think that's more of what it is, that she has to be this whole person that you know, she saves lives, she does these things, like, she can't be broken in
any
capacity.
She did say, I'll never stand at an operating table again.
Yeah. Right. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And that's, I think that she's just not looking at the bigger picture. She's just looking at that.
And which she's was emotional.
Nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. very emotional and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But like when we heard Derek say, how great that I'm alive. Yeah, maybe I won't do surgery, but I could teach. Uh-huh. But hey, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Our child has two parents. Yay.
Right.
Yeah, but also, I mean, we'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
But, you know, but also he's almost had to deal with the fact that Meredith almost died and then he almost died. So he's already been kind of back and forth. This is probably, you know, aside from Arizona losing her brother when, you know, this is her biggest thing with her family. And she's, you know, I think she's more so just thinking about herself and what she can't do versus the fact that she didn't die.
Great. Also, if we had seen that journey on its own, not in comparison with everyone dying all over the place, it might mean more to us.
Right.
But at this point, we're screaming, you're alive, you're fine, you know?
Right. In comparison to the other things, it wasn't so bad.
Also, Kelly, like, Derek has had his fair share of tragedies where he botched the Jennifer's head surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went into the woods, he had a meltdown, ran away, they had to go to the woods, bring him back. So Derek's evolved. He's mm-hmm. more, you know, and again, I say...
And he's a parent.
Right. I like every character on Grey's Anatomy. They're just some of my least favorites for my own personal reasons, but they're all great characters, and I'm glad Derek is finally not being so intense. His hair still looks great.
perfectly placed.
Yeah, I mean, so quaffed. I think he uses TG Bedhead. I think that's the gel he uses because
I don't know.
His hair is always beat. Even when he was in the woods, that hair was wet. It's like a whoosh.
It's perfect all the time.
Yeah.
So I do know for a fact that Callie's storyline, this arc, is going to be intense. It's about time. I think she deserves it. And Callie was ejected from a car seat last year.
Yeah. You know? She's had her own fair share of tragedy and all of that. And I think she's absolutely a strong character, and she's great. And every season she comes back even better. So I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
Do you guys see, though, how the reason why this show is so amazing? And I feel like I'm seeing this time and time again, and I say this over and over again, but no matter the depth of the character or how little or how big their storyline is, it's always great. There's never ever, even when George, before George was making his exit, you know, there's stuff going on behind the scenes, but he's still on the show. Even the little parts he had were still great acting. And yeah, they're great actors, but a great actor is only as good as the writing is the script he's given.
Mm-hmm.
And this show just delivers great scripts over and over and over again.
It really is.
And it's really hard to do that in television for 9 seasons.
I know.
There was that one funny moment where we all looked at each other and we're like, okay, Callie's baby. She's been in the hospital by their bedside for how many days? And the other parents are staying the night in the hospital. Who's taking care of her?
She's in the daycare the whole time.
24-hour daycare.
At the hospital. Poor kid.
Which, I feel like she looked different in both scenes that she was in.
It wasn't the same kid?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe there was a day rate.
It's like Ross and Rachel's kid that changed eye color at least 6 times.
Or like Days of Our Lives, like different kids, different seasons. Like, how do you know that's not your child?
Or Mad Men, where the kid literally reversed in age.
Totally. Or National Lampoon's, where Chevy Chase's kids kept being replaced. They had a black kid. Are you my daddy?
Like, who are they trying to pull one over? We see that that's a different kid.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the actors do, too. I don't know.
They don't care. They're getting that day rate.
Seriously, the kid is nowhere to be found even when her dad's dying. Gone. So sad.
You know, you guys, it's fall, and all the great shows are back on TV. We have Revenge. We have Scandal. We have Nashville. So many new shows are going on. If you have any new shows that you want to get the 411 on, come on to AfterBuzz TV. We're doing after shows on so many of them. I love the fall. It's just, you know, it's the best time of the year for a myriad of reasons. One, my birthday's in September.
Mine is in October.
Yeah. Well, all of our birthdays are in the fall, technically, right?
I think I'm winter.
I'm winter.
Winter. In LA, LA it's all the same
I'm the second day
season.
Of winter, actually, officially, December 22nd after Buzzers, in case you want to write me.
There's so many shows that are back on the air, and if you want to catch your favorite after shows, just go to iTunes or log on to AfterBuzzTV.com. Guaranteed they'll be there for your viewing pleasure and for your listening pleasure, and you could also get the iPod and iPad app and have them all on your iOS device.
Yeah.
Work!
Can we talk about Karev, please, and why after 9 seasons he still has to be such a jerk all the time?
I killed him last episode. I was like, get rid of him. Why didn't he die? Go to John Hopkins.
Can he please evolve a little? I mean, he does like tad by tad, but can a little bit more.
It's too aggro.
Karev hasn't been engaging since Izzy. I think since Katherine Heigl, who I wish would come back and be on Grey's for just one episode, I would love it. He hasn't been.
No, she didn't appreciate it.
What would you give to be on the show and not walk away
again,
from it, you know?
Izzy was amazing. Powerful female actress, powerful, strong character that her storylines were. She had some of the best storylines on the show for all 6 seasons she was on. But Karev was the most vulnerable and open with her. Mm-hmm. And I think that Karev shows signs of vulnerability. But that's his character. He just doesn't have any depth.
Everybody keeps calling him a jerk. So he keeps acting like a jerk.
I know. But I was hoping when he was in PEDS that being around the kids and all that, even when he got the kids from Africa and like did all of that. Because you see him opening a little by little. But then it just goes right back to insensitivity. I mean,
it gives me anxiety.
I want to see him grow a little bit more, just a little bit.
I don't hate Karev. I don't.
I don't hate him either. I just, you know, I hate that everybody's always bagging on him.
He's just a man that walks around with a bad attitude, and then that just shows the contrast between him and all these crazies who have all over the place attitudes. Him, consistently
he's
bad.
He always has a bad attitude.
He does say some of the meanest things.
But is that realistic?
I don't.
To be around all those people and have all these experiences with all these people and all these friends because they take you in and you live with them.
And always be so mean.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, tonight we also got an answer about Kepner, who, for some reason, has been like that straggler that's always just there. You ever had that friend that shows up?
You're
just
they like, brought her on and treated her that way.
Yeah, you're like,
just
okay,
catch up. You know, she kind of annoyed me a little bit, that poor kid.
She did too, for me as well, except for this episode. This episode, I actually liked her. I was like, oh, I kind of feel for you.
Yeah. We found out why they did a rewind on her, and she actually stayed after she was fired.
Yeah.
I loved that.
She's like, where am I going to go? I mean, I'm from a farm. I mean, I fought her pigs. But we found out that she stayed, you know, for Mark to make sure everyone was okay. And then she left. And it was a kind of a touching moment, her and Jackson, who, by the way, how do you feel about his baby fro?
I'm not liking it.
I want to know why.
I thought I would like it in theory, like, but once I saw it,
he needs
not
a short,
so much.
A short fade, right? 1 and 2.
He looks great before.
Yeah.
It looks like it's...
Not, it's disheveled. Like, he needs some
I mean, he's still one of the most gorgeous men that exists. So it's fine. But
maybe the hair had to do with giving, like, Mark his time to shine while he was dying. Because Steamy had to be the hottest, the fairest one of them all. And now Avery is going to be the fairest one of them all.
Rise
up. Yeah, he's taking it over, you know.
Yeah, but talking about McSteamy and Avery, their relationship, I'm sure, you know, not only is Callie and McSteamy, I'm sorry, McDreamy, Derek, feeling the loss because they're so invested in different emotional areas. But that was his mentor, you know. Mm-hmm. Mark mentored Avery and made him go into plastics after his mom wanted him to do general surgery. And it's just in the premiere, he was running play by play of the things that were happening, hoping that he was listening. And that to me was so bleak and had so much despair, because you want so badly for this person to just wake up and be there. And Drake has this really cool quote, and I know I should be quoting Drake, but he says, you never see it coming, but you get to see it leave. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, because we take for granted all these people in our lives and how they're so intermingled and how they're woven into our lives. And like, even you guys, we know we just met, we're doing this show, but you guys are important to me as well, because
getting all emotional.
Because Grays makes you see it. I know I'm such a weirdo, but it makes you
that's why I cry all the time.
It makes you realize
this time
there's so many moments that you're like, you know what, that's so true. The messages in this show are so on the money. Mm-hmm. You know, and seeing Avery talk to Mark, and you know, he went to go get Sophia and bring her down because Mark wanted to see his baby, and he runs into Kepner and says, we'll meet at Joe's, we'll hash it out, we'll go.
Probably to tell her that he loves her.
It does seem like they're foreshadowing that to become a major relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to bring her back. We saw in last episode that Owen went to get her.
Yeah, and we saw in next week's episode.
She's back, and she's in a coat. A medical coat. Yeah.
But again, another Grey's cliche. Meet at Joe's, walk in there. Remember when Meredith was looking for
gone
McSteamy?
In, find your love.
Gone. Slow-mo, drinking tequila.
Drinking alone.
Right. I mean,
with Joe.
There we go. But
so we know it's not the end for them. So it wasn't as sad when he walked into the bar and she wasn't there.
Sure. Yeah. So we're now at the end of the episode, and one of the things about Grey's that you could always count on is a stellar monologue. Is a stellar Meredith narrating the house down. Whoever writes that stuff should get an Emmy just for their writing, because they always go hard.
Mm-hmm. Those are always the best for me, the best parts of the show.
And, you know, Christina leaves. They have the fight, of course, at the beginning of the episode. Christina goes to Mayo, Minnesota. She drives her car. It's a straight shot there on the car. And they don't talk. And you see that Meredith's in the gallery watching them operate on McSteamy. McDreamy, why do I get them confused? And
I've decided why we all get them confused, by the way.
The hair.
Mick? No. It's because they have a first name and a last name that they go by. But then they also have a nickname. But then whoever they're dating, those people also have nicknames. So quintessentially, every person on the show has four names.
Right. It's like they're...
True. Way to break that down, yes.
Meredith Medusa Tequila Gray.
Yeah.
But Meredith's in the gallery, and she calls Christina, and thus leads us into the monologue, and that's where Meredith tells Christina, you know, I'm going to stay here. This is our life. This is, you know, I have people who have died here, but I also have great memories, so I have reasons to be happy here, and, you know, and you do too. So, you know, I hope you're doing well. Bye. And we have Christina listening to that, and it's just, it was, the way they put them together and tied them together was cool, because you're thinking, okay, you saw her making the call, and then the show's over, they break away, different scenes, but then you finally realize that she's actually talking on the phone, and it was just great, and what she was saying was right, you know. We all, even living in Los Angeles, we have not so good memories and some great memories. Mm-hmm. You know, we have times where we're driving down Sunset Boulevard and we think, I left Albuquerque, New Mexico for this. And some days it sucks, but some days there's magic and it's well worth it. And that at the end of the show is like, yes, mm-hmm. thank you. Yes, I can now, like, I don't know, go save the world.
It just brings us back to that whole thing that she said. It's life.
Yeah.
It's life.
It is.
These are the moments that make your life.
Right.
So you have to say, okay, what can I do with this now?
And I do love it how throughout the course of a lifetime, in the course of a friendship, you really do go through ups and downs
for
and
sure.
months of not speaking. And just whoever breaks the silence and whoever goes ahead and calls the friend, you're back where you left off.
Right. Like it never happened.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, Miss Julie, that if I worked at a hospital where there was a shooting, where I put my hand in a bomb, where, I don't know, my friend got dragged through a street, lost his face.
And what city has that bad of luck?
I mean, Seattle, great. It's because of it's all that raining and they're drinking too much coffee. But, yeah, I would kind of be a little out there.
I would be like, so Mayo Clinic, huh? Minnesota. I never hear anything about that state.
Do they ever sleep? I feel like,
no.
You know, like, do they ever, like... I'm a crazy sleeper. I need sleep, like, 12 hours at least some days. They're always up.
No, you remember in the earlier seasons, they would, like, laugh about how they could get 4 hours, 3 hours here, something like that, because they were always
working.
That
is crazy, crazy, crazy. So, ladies, do we all agree that Grace has redeemed itself tonight and we're on the right track?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I actually didn't think we were that far off the track.
Like, I did. I thought they just
like
gave up.
My favorite times of the show are whenever it's not doing crazy destructive things.
Yeah.
Those every time it comes to a season ending, I just know I'm not gonna like it as much. That's not my show. My show is the one where I love the characters and I love the day to day. So I feel like last week wasn't that bad, and this week was great.
Yeah. Fabulous. Well, it's about that time for news and
AfterBuzz TV news.
I feel so official when I come on. Well, I was reading today that Eric Dane, who still plays Mark Sloan on Grey's Anatomy, is suing Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. Apparently, Billy had a tree in their neighbors, and Billy had a tree in his yard that almost fell on his pregnant wife, Noxzema girl Rebecca Gayheart, and almost injured her. Oh, no, he didn't.
Also... Today on the Grey's Anatomy set, all of the cast was tweeting pictures of a boardroom scene.
Ooh.
We know bad things happen in the boardroom. People get fired, merges happen, all types of legal drama. So we'll be going there soon.
There you go. Well, it's safe to say that Billy Corgan and Eric Dane worked it out. No one's being sued. And actually, Billy denied that a tree ever fell into Eric Dane's yard.
I'm sorry I interrupted that tree story.
Okay.
I thought it was done because of that sound.
Oh, no.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there.
And getting back to the boardroom, who knows? It could be another medical trial, you know, mashup. You never know. Someone could have maybe killed someone yet again.
And we saw from the previews of next week's episode that people are relieving their stress.
Yes,
by spending time in the on-call room.
Yes.
But, you know, I wonder if they have safe sex in the on-call. I mean...
You think they would have the supplies in the hospital to make that happen.
What about clean sheets? How often do those get...
What if they have bed bugs?
Ooh, I always... Yeah.
A lot of speculation
also,
here.
Also, we saw a little bitty clip where Avery said to Kepner, do you want to get married? Aren't we rushing things a little there?
I feel like we are.
You know... I don't know about that.
Maybe death is inspiring quick moves.
Some people get engaged after 2 months of dating.
Yeah.
Hey, and she's been married 3 years.
Miss Kelly, care to chime in?
I don't know.
Your head's spinning.
And I know. I want to save mine for predictions.
Okay, well, let's move along to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Miss Kelly with predictions.
Oh, so now I have to go first.
Yes.
So I think Kepner's whole thing is, you know, she was a virgin, you know, whatever. So I think when she comes back, she's going to be over emotional and talk too much like her character tends to. And I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to be like, so what's your deal? You know, this happens now. You know, we just want to get married. But I don't think it's going to go that fast.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably slow down a little bit. I don't think Derek's going to be that happy about not being able. I don't think he's going to take it as well as he seems to be taking not being able to do surgery.
Sure.
I think he's going to keep, you know, busting into ORs like he did today. way and kind of instructing people on what they're doing wrong. And that might not sit too well at the hospital. Maybe that's what the boardroom's all about.
Gotcha. It's funny you say that, though. Another Grey's cliche, Derek busting in the OR telling people how to operate. Chief Weber did the same thing when he was no longer chief.
And so, let go.
I think that throughout the course of the season, I can only speak on the season, I think we're going to see a lot more dysfunctional emotional issues with everybody. I think with Meredith and Christina, their relationship's going to mend, but something else is going to rip them apart again. I feel like that this is now their true friendship's going to be tested, and I feel as the show ends, they're going to end up not being friends.
What? No.
No.
Yes. Not a chance.
I will not accept that.
You don't have to accept it. Yeah, no. But I mean, sometimes the inevitable.
I did read, I think it's on November 1st, you know how they do the viewpoint of Meredith? They're doing a episode with a viewpoint from Meredith and Christina, both in their individual locations.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah. That's good.
So a parallel viewpoint. Also, for next week, it's a prediction and a hope that I think we'll finally get to see some patients.
Well, next week we're actually off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So today.
The next episode. The next How episode. Sad. I yes. want to see some patients. Not the people on staff being hurt, but some actual patients coming into this hospital.
And some music. I think the music is missing. Jen, what are your predictions?
I think the same things as you guys.
Good for you. Good girl.
We're all on the same path.
We're all on accordion. Yeah. Awesome. Well, there you go, After Buzzers. There you have it. Grey's Anatomy After Show. Until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever.
And you can find me at Jen the Jew.
I'm Julie. You can find me at Julie Partin, Partin.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079.
Until next time, guys, be well, be safe, and don't fly on planes that can crash.
I have to get on one tomorrow. Don't say that.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal. AfterBuzz TV.